there are a lot of challenges when producing a live radio show. One of these challenges is finding a host who can actually speak coherently. Take this, for example.
All right. Top, top. Tippy, tippy, top. Tippy, tippy, top, top.
Whoa, baby. Yeah. I'm Jabalani LaFall, and on today's Central Standard, we pull back the curtain on the first 2 years of this radio program.
I wonder what this show will be like 2 years down the road. I have no idea.
Coming up, we reveal the origins of the show's name and musical theme. We've got Blast from the Past, Je Ne Sais Quoi, and of course, Civic Pride for Kansas City. Get ready for Central Standard, the bloopers and practically stoked edition, after this hour's NPR News.
Good morning, Kansas City. It's approximately 10:06 a.m. and a few seconds Central Standard Time. Normally, you might say, who cares? Why do I need to know that? But today is a special day to note this particular time in the theater of your mind. Central Standard happens to be the name of this show you are listening to right now. And I'm your host, Jabalani LaFall. And in case you're hearing it for the first time, which may be the last time you listen, by the way, this is a show about nothing and everything. It's a show where a ferret, various authors, an accused murderer, Nobel laureates, policymakers, academics, an Elvis impersonator, and various non-white people have all graced the studios. This, along with everyday people and Kansas Cityans with an interesting story, who've all added to your listening experience in the past 2 calendar years. Welcome to a special edition of Central Standard that we will call Central Standard Bloopers and Practically Stoked. Once again, I'm your host, Jabalani LaFall, and joining us now is our guest for the hour to tell us about the show that began 2 years ago this month with no name. A show that began with no name. Our guest today has a name, Jabalani LaFall.
What's up, Jabalani? Thanks, Jabalani. I'm really happy to be here, Jabalani. You could say I'm practically stoked to be here, Jabalani.
Well, of course you are. Okay, moving right along. What have you learned about being a radio host?
I'm glad you asked that, Jabalani. Okay, here's one thing. First, you should stay a fist distance away from the microphone at all times. Back away when excited. Lean in when sober or smooth. I also learned that live callers feel the most comfortable with topics that affect them directly. Here's something really interesting, Jabalani. I learned that ferrets are not rodents but a kind of weasel, and they're quite quiet during live radio interviews, and they tend to relieve themselves in the studio during a live show. You know what else? Do not look the show producer directly in the eyes after you as a host stumble over a word or get a fact wrong on air. It's just usually a thousand-yard death stare that ends, and it breaks concentration. But do look the guests directly in the eye when talking to them. Pretend you're sort of in a living room and not in the studio. I'll tell you something else, Jabalani.
Okay.
Sometimes jokes fall flat on the air.
Amen.
And you, as a host, can hear coughs and crickets in your mind. Move on. Say something quick. And
Speaking of saying something quickly, I'm going to have you stop right there. For God's sake, man. We're about to hear how Central Standard got its name. Hurry up, let's go to the clip. Come on, please, for Pete's sake, can we go to the clip?
Here at KCUR, we very rarely delve into the inner workings of the radio. You hear it, its quality. We work at it day and night to bring you programming. But right now, we're about to go to exclusive audio footage on an October 2010 conversation between myself, Jabalani LaFall, host of Central Standard, and KCUR's program director, Bill Anderson. Take a rare glimpse at history.
Greetings, howdy, salutations, and good morrow to you, Bill Anderson, longtime program director of KCUR 89.3. How you doing, Bill? What's the dilly-drilly-dilly deal?
Huh? Who are you?
I'm Jabulani LaFall, of course, the newest member of KCUR. I am about to host a talk show. It's early October 2010, and I'm calling you from a gas station outside of the Best Buy in the lovely Northland of KC.
Oh, yeah, you. I remember you. What's up? What can I do for you?
Well, I'm calling because we need a name for the new show. I'm giving you a progress report because I am working very hard on this new show.
Oh, yeah. The new show. Sure. The new show. Well, what names have our loyal listeners sent in to our website, Jabulani?
I'm really, really glad that you asked me that question, Bill Anderson, because it's the middle of the night, and I am on the phone with you to show you how dedicated and intrepid this process the process is, right? Because it's October 2010, not October 2012.
Mm. Oh, yeah, right. Yeah.
So here's some of the names we have from our audience. 10 Sharp.
Hmm. Sounds cutting edge, but maybe a bit too obvious.
Okay, here is another one. Our Show.
Well, yeah, we've already established that it's Our Show.
No. Our Show, as in the show lasts an hour. Our Show, H-Hour.
I'm not so sure. I think I'll pass on that one. What's next?
Here.
Yeah, I'm still here.
No, here was the suggested name from our listeners. Here.
Oh, I thought we were playing the Who's on First game here. Well, we already have Here and Now, so no dice on that one, Jabulani.
Here to that.
Huh? I thought we weren't going to go there.
No, I said I was saying, never mind. Oh. Metrolink was another name for the new show that we are about to produce that hasn't happened yet, because we're speaking, Bill Anderson, before the show has actually started.
Right. Metrolink. Are you planning on doing a lot of remotes? Because that sounds more like a light rail train. But we wouldn't have that in Kansas City, would we?
No, we would not.
My bad.
How about the flyover? That was another sort of, call this show the flyover.
That's kind of witty, but don't you think it's a little bit of an insult considering people on the coast think of Kansas and Missouri as flyover states? I mean, we're better than that. Next.
Well, Bill Anderson, program director, State Line was also a promising one.
Do we want to go there? I mean, that sounds like a call-in show. State Line, I don't know. Do you really want to go there?
How about Day Beat?
Now, see, there's a guy by the name of Walt Bodine, and you've probably heard of him, right? Mm-hmm. Well, he had a show called Night Beat, so he was a pioneer in talk radio, so I'm sorry, kid. No, too close.
Well, golly, Bill Anderson, longtime program director of KCUR 89.3, your source for NPR News, whatever are we to do? Whatever are we to do about this new show name in the conversation from October 2010?
Excuse me just a minute. It might be our voice coach. Hello? Oh, hi. Not much. You? What's up? I'm in the studio with this guy. I'm doing this thing. I think it's an anniversary special or something. No, it's Jabulani, LaFall. Yeah, some kind of a skit he's worked up. Can you hold on just
Bill,
a second? What,
we're
Jabulani?
Supposed to
I'm
be,
on the phone.
We're supposed to be talking on the phone. We still need a name for the show because this is a phone conversation. It's October 2010, and I'm calling you from a gas station outside of a Best Buy in the picturesque Northland of Kansas City.
Hey, I'm going to have to go. I'll just call you back a little bit later, okay? All right. Okay, bye-bye. So what does your producer think of all this?
I'm glad you brought that up. Of course, our new producer. Our brand new founding producer, you know, because it's October 2010 and not October 2012. She suggested, what about Central Time? That's what she said.
Let's go back because I didn't say Jabulani. I think
you don't have to.
Okay. I don't know.
Me either, but it's promising. Central Time. Central Time. Mm, that sounds good. Hello, welcome to Central Time.
No, I don't like the way that sounds. We're close, though, buddy. We're really close.
Well, Bill, these other names, the flyover, it's cool. It has its limitations. We also had 10 Sharp that has its limitations. Our show, State Line, they weren't working. And by the way.
By the way, what?
By the way was also one of the other suggestions.
Oh,
by the way.
By the way, yeah. By the way, let that one go, okay?
So Central Time, I guess, is the best out of the show. The show is going to be on 10 a.m. Central Standard Time because, remember, it's October and our show hasn't aired yet. We're 2010 and not October 2012, which would be 2 years after this conversation.
What did you just say?
Central Standard Time.
Central Standard Time. That's it. Drop the time reference. You know, Central Standard. I like that. I think we have a winner.
I think we do, too. Central Standard.
Well, then we're good here, right? With this anniversary show thing. I kind of have to run.
Central Standard it is. It shall be. I declare on this day in October 2010 that the birth of Central Standard. I'm glad I thought of this idea, Bill. I'm glad.
I'm really glad that you thought of it, too. That was brilliant, Jabalani.
Gee, I wonder on this lovely October evening in 2010, I wonder what this show will be like 2 years down the road. I have no idea. That's because it's October 2010 and the show has not been produced yet. I guess we will have to see.
That was really a feeble attempt at humor, obviously a staged conversation between KCUR's program director Bill Anderson and Central Standard host Jabalani LaFall about the origins of this show's name, which happened 2 years ago, but in actuality was taped recently. Not funny at all. I'm Jabalani LaFall, and I want to apologize for today's show. This is 89.3 FM KCUR, streaming live on KCUR.org. You're listening to, frankly, I find it hard to describe what you're listening to, but this is Central Standard Bloopers and Practically Stoked. Practically Stoked. That's an awful title. Anyway, did I mention that I'm your host, Jabalani LaFall, and our guest today is the host of Central Standard, Jabalani LaFall?
Glad to be here, Jabalani.
Yeah, well, I'm glad to know that you are here and to have you here. You said that already, Jabalani. I sure regret that I'm here.
You know what, Jabalani?
What? What is it?
You know, Jabalani, your voice has really gotten real mature and deeper in these 2 years.
No, thank you.
I'm thinking it must be all those interesting guests that you have on the show. You must really be, you know, getting into your comfort zone here.
No, Jabalani, I'll tell you what it is. When you're on a staff that includes people like award-winning industry veteran and local broadcast icon Steve Bell, that swagger just tends to rub off on you. I think it's time to go to another clip. This is about how you came up with the theme music for this show. Tell us about Miles Bonney.
Well, Jabalani, Miles Bonney is a local DJ. He's a trumpeter. He's a soul singer. He's a music producer I found on the internet radio station Pandora, of all places. I was so thrilled to find out that he was from Kansas City. And when I...
Great. Let's go to the clip.
Joining us in the studio is the incomparable Miles Bonney, the composer of the theme that you hear at the top of the hour, a theme that has been somewhat controversial in that either you like it or you love it. Tell us about how you came to Kansas City and your taste in music and the thought process that went into our show theme.
Well, most of my family...
Introduce yourself first.
Okay. This is Miles Bonney. My real name, so I can't escape it. Both my mom and my dad are originally from Kansas and Missouri. They grew up out here. Families live out here. I grew up on the East Coast because my dad went to New York to play trumpet and stayed, and I came back. So here I am. Went to KU and all that and stuck around really because I really enjoyed being a part of the music scene. And to bring us to the theme, I have been singing largely and DJing for the last couple of years, focusing on those things. And before that, I was a producer. I was making hip-hop beats. So this is kind of a reflection of that aspect of my history, although I did make it right after we discussed me potentially creating the theme. And
you're also a trumpeter.
I play trumpet too.
Miles.
I do other things.
The whole Miles thing.
Well, you know, connection. I didn't name myself, so I don't.
He was a trumpeter, and he named you Miles.
Yeah, but, you know, they deny that there's a connection. So, you know, either way. But as for the theme, yeah, I could understand that there might be a wide variety of reactions. What happened to some of the reactions, honestly?
Well, one of the common reactions is that it's way too sad. Like it sounds like a New Orleans death march.
Sure.
Second line death march.
Welcome to the world as we know it today.
Exactly.
No, that was the theme that naturally came out of me after you asked me to. It's also the theme that I never played for you until later on because I felt the same way. I felt as though it was perhaps a little sad. Although at this point in my life, entering my 30s, I tend to enjoy things that are of a certain speed. I love jazz. I love hip hop. So it's a beat oriented, horn based theme that originally incorporated some kind of vocals that were more atmospheric than anything else since they didn't include words.
Give us the vocal riff to that.
Oh, man.
Put you on the spot.
Let's listen to the theme first. Dun dun da da dun 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 dun.
See, now when you hear it like that, that gives you a flavor to just how upbeat it is. Because even the second line funeral march or funeral music, New Orleans, Storyville funeral music that has been compared to by critics of it or saying that it's too sad is in and of itself march toward...
Exactly.
You know, acceptance.
Well, look at the second line. I mean, I'm not from New Orleans, but isn't a celebration of the individual.
It is a celebration.
So, although
of the individual.
I'm someone who, just because much of the things that we're fed via commercial culture tend to try to get us excited about their product, does not mean that there's not a place for reflection.
Right.
And I'm not afraid of reflection.
And that's what I got out of it.
Yeah. And I appreciate you appreciating it that way. But for those who might think it's too sad, I wouldn't say it's too sad. But I definitely understand the reaction of feeling that it's sad because that was my initial reaction as well. That's why I didn't play it for you right away. I submitted all this other stuff like, what about this? What about this? But in the end, it was the first one I created, and I think it's meant to be.
But when you scat to it, you feel that passion, and you feel that it moves you in one way or another. And I kind of like the fact that people say, you know, get rid of it. It's too sad for me. And then some people say, you know what? This is really cool and smooth. And really kind of sets a mood. And that was my impression of it, that it set a serious mood either way. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I would say that I feel it's a kind of a neutral piece. It is a little bit maybe down.
Exactly.
It's also a little sing-songy
in
its reoccurring theme. But I don't really understand why someone would be afraid to feel sad for a moment.
Exactly.
I mean, let's be honest. I mean, this is a topical show. There are an amazing amount of sad things going on right now in the midst of amazing opportunities and positive experiences as well.
Right. And my feeling was that you can't start a show on poverty. Poor people. You know, you can't do that.
Yeah. So maybe this lends itself to a variety of topics.
Right, right.
But
it,
in the
does.
End, mm-hmm. it's all Jabalani's fault.
Yeah, it's all my fault.
Because
Blame
I just
me.
Made it.
Blame
no,
me. You made it, I took it. And
I'm extremely happy to be a part of the show at all, and thank you for that.
Thank you very much.
That was local musician Miles Bonney explaining the concept around the show's musical theme, which was eventually changed to something more fast-paced and less somber, and definitely less somber than today's episode. Anyhow, Central Standard is 2 years old this month, and you're listening to Central Standard Bloopers and you heard one right there. Bloopers and Practically Stoked. The title is supposed to be a play on bloopers and practical jokes, which I can say. But much like this particular episode of what's otherwise a pretty decent show, the title, along with this particular show, is really, really a bad idea. Oh, yeah, I'm your host, Jabalani LaFall, and our guest is Jabalani LaFall.
Jabalani is interviewing Jabalani. How's that for a change? How's that for switching up speeds on him? How's that for flipping it on him? That's that's classic. We have the same name.
Well, then I wouldn't call that classic. More like sad, more like scraping the bottom of the barrel, you know. That was, never mind. It's an anniversary show. You're listening to Central Standard, Bloopers and Practically Stoked, which I should point out again is supposed to be a play on bloopers and practical jokes, but, hey, I was called in to do this on pretty short notice. Is it break time yet? Oh, I'm glad to hear that. I'm out of here. I am so out of here.
Okay. Thanks, Jabalani.
Stop winking at me, Jabalani. I don't like that. I don't like that at all. Let's go to another clip, okay? Do whatever you want to do. I got to go back to work.
We're here at the KCUR studios with the one and only, the incomparable Walt Bodine. Mr. Bodine, thank you for appearing on Central Standard.
Well, thank you. How did I get here?
How did we both get here, indeed?
That's right.
So you say Kansas City is a swinging place. What advice do you have for a new Kansas Cityan?
Well, I just say get out, move around, and don't... Some people decide they're just downtowners and they're not going to go anywhere else. Other people don't, and they get around and move around, and you drive?
Yeah.
Well, then you're in business.
Then I'm in business. This is such an honor and a privilege to be able to do this, so I have a couple questions for you.
Well, that's all right.
If you weren't a radio and TV guy, what do you think you would have ended up doing?
If
you weren't in radio and TV.
Oh. Well, radio and TV. Well, I've done both, and I'm waiting for a new form of communication. But I guess this is about the dead end for a while. And I think. What was the question?
You can't necessarily imagine yourself doing anything but radio or TV. You've been at it so long.
Yeah, you're playing my song now.
I'm playing your song. What advice would you give a new talk show host?
Oh, okay. New talk show host. A new talk show host. I listen to everybody, and I know everybody is doing different stages of this. But I do think it's very, very important to let the audience talk in a talk show. It seems to me, on other stations I've seen places where they have a host, and the host comes on and he registers three calls and gets rid of all three of them in a hurry so he can talk some more. And so I back off of that, and I think that's the very most important thing, is to remember there are human beings out there, and they are, as a matter of fact, there are a lot of fun, there are a lot of everything.
There's probably not a broadcaster or journalist in this town that doesn't see you as a mentor or an antecedent to what they do on a daily basis. Were you lucky enough to have a mentor when you got started, and do you remember who they were?
I'll tell you what. Listen, you know what happened? I'm in this business now I am now 90 years old, and I came into it when I was about, I'd hate to tell you how where I was or how advanced it was. But anyway, I just feel like that's a lot of folks and a lot of things to know about.
Who was your idol coming up in the business? Do you remember?
Well, I had some people that weren't, that I patterned my stuff around sometimes. They weren't necessarily idols. Usually they were wanting to get through and go out and have a drink.
Certainly.
That was in an older day. Today, you gotta move fast and know what you're doing.
There's still nothing wrong with having a drink, though, Mr. Bodine.
Well, yes. Yeah, okay. I won't back off of that. But I personally don't have one, but about once or twice a year, and the rest of the time, I'm on Coca-Colas, and above all, and this is the supreme one, a chocolate malt, as properly prepared chocolate malt is a thing of beauty.
It certainly is a thing of beauty. Can you describe how it feels to be on live radio?
On what?
On live radio. Can you describe how it feels to be on live radio? Mm. What's the feeling that you get when you first come on air?
On live radio. Well, you just got to know where you're going and what you're doing. And, well, you know, when you first come on live radio, you usually have several things to learn, and you don't know that at the time, but you, in the space of a couple of weeks, you have learned quite a lot just by talking to other people.
You've been in this business now for the better part of perhaps 7 decades. If you had anything to do over, what would you do differently, if anything, Mr. Bodine?
I'd do 6 decades.
You just do 6 decades. Yeah. We've been talking with the Dean of Kansas City Broadcasting and one of the legends of talk radio, not just locally in the metro area, but nationally as a pioneer of talk radio and one of the original purveyors of what is today called convergence journalism. You've been a TV guy and a radio guy.
Oh, yeah.
And a malt connoisseur and an inspiration to the metro area. And I thank you coming on our show. And there's this urban legend around the station that you used to go down to the city market and cover some of the mafia bosses that were there and I guess lay wait in a cafe, waiting on some of the wise guys to come out?
I never did it quite so bluntly as that. But, you got to go where it is.
Mm-hmm.
And if you get there where with gangland, you got to watch it. You can find out kind of where the action is. And then if you don't know enough, but what you're going to try to say or do something right there, why, then you're getting into trouble. And I don't know how well all that fits together, except that I just believe that's the thing.
Certainly. Isn't getting into trouble why we're in this business in the first place, Mr. Bodine?
Yeah, it's a great – that's the other thing. It's a great business.
It is. It
really, you know, look at all those years I've been coming up, and my Lord, the things – the changes that have been made and all the rest – It's marvelous.
You've been listening to the second anniversary show of Central Standard titled Bloopers and Practically Stoked. We're going to take a quick break. More with Jabulani LaFall interviewing Jabulani LaFall and more clips and reminiscences of the 2 years that Central Standard has been in existence. You stay groovy.
Welcome back to Central Standard. I'm Jabulani LaFall. This show is a special second anniversary edition of the program called Central Standard, Bloopers and Practically Stoked. Not exactly the best title in the world, but we roll with what we got. By the way, I'm Jabulani LaFall. Our guest today is radio host Jabulani LaFall.
Yeah, what's up? What's up? Jabulani?
What?
I don't think Jabulani LaFont, I don't think he talks like that. In fact, you sound like Renee Blanche, host of KCUR's program Night Tides.
Are you telling me who I am? Is that what's happening right now?
No.
Oh, okay. Well,
Jabulani.
Then,
no.
Right. Then let's get on okay, Jabulani. With the program.
Yeah,
then.
All right. Jabulani. All right.
I'm Jabulani LaFont, and I'm trying to help you out, Jabulani. Let's go to a clip.
Check, 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 check. Hello. Hello.
Hello.
Hello.
Are you having fun tonight?
Hey, how you doing?
Having fun tonight? You a basketball fan?
Yeah.
I'm Jabulani LaFont with Central Standard. We are standing here on the red carpet at the historic Midland Theater a night before a preseason NBA game, but the preseason is a special thing because Kansas City doesn't have a team, and we're out here to find out if people in Kansas City want a team.
Almer,
Rashonda,
Ken Davis,
McLean Bryant.
If they could support an NFL team, soccer team, baseball team, then they could support an NBA team.
We have a lot of people who, unlike me, are sports fans, so they would patronize the games, and it would also make Kansas City a better city.
The Sprint Center is a very new facility. It's only been built for 3 years now, and a lot of the NBA players have like stated that it's much better than other arenas that they've been in.
Do you think that with football and the KU-MU rivalry and the Big 12 tournaments and the NCAA regional tournaments coming here all the time, that might still overshadow the NBA?
No.
You know, college is definitely a fun experience to watch, but it's nothing like the NBA to see professional athletes doing what they do best at such a high level of performance. It's just it's fascinating.
If you were pitching NBA Commissioner David Stern on bringing a team to Kansas City, what things about the city would you tell him that make this an ideal mid-market but still, you know, bona fide NBA city?
Well, most definitely it would have to be where we're standing in right now, like the power and light. The city's going under major reconstruction, you know, to change the identity of the city to try to bring more main attractions in there. So as time progresses, so will the city progress, and we have a big potential market.
All Kansas City is missing is an NBA team. I mean, we have every other aspect of a major city. We've got great nightlife, great restaurants, great arts, great shopping. We've got a diverse population that are willing to spend money on athletic events and just around the city in general, and it's an untapped market where they could come in and feed a hunger that's been in the city for a long time, and they'd make a lot of money.
And despite the fact that you're not a sports fan, would you, just because Kobe or LeBron or Kevin Durant or Shaq would be in town, would you go?
Oh, yeah, because, I mean, when they're around, it draws in other people, so it makes for a good party, and I'm always down for a good party.
So, like, we're pretty much already set. All we need to do is finish the deal.
We've been trying to get a team for quite a while without any success, and I think it's time to make that move.
Great, thank you. I just walked inside the Midland, and one thing you know when you come in here and discover when you come in here is that the NBA experience is a lot more than basketball. It's about party and pomp and circumstance and flashiness and the offshoots of the NBA professional fast break showtime lifestyle. And we're seeing that here in the Midland now with the music blaring and the drinks pouring and the ladies looking lovely and the gentlemen nice and dapper. And that would probably be the typical scene you would see in an NBA town on the night of a game or on the eve of a game. And that's probably why they want it. For Central Standard, I'm Jabulani LaFont.
We're taking a look back at 2 years of quirky, whimsical, courageous, and thought-provoking radio. We would probably go to a clip, huh?
Yeah, another clip would be probably a good idea at this point.
Okay, yeah.
5, 4, 3, 2. Oh, we're on. There are lots of people looking for gigs and news or anxiously awaiting their chance to anchor a program or host a special interest television. Am I seriously supposed to read this, what I wrote? You want me to read this? There are lots of people on the planet who are, nice one, I'm looking to become a multiple platform control voice person, brand host, blogger. I'm Jabulani LaFont, a confident conversational convergence cohort constantly circumventing career conundrums. Say that several times, fast. I can. A confident conversational convergent cohort constantly circumventing career conundrums. Boom! In addition to being inexplicably alliterative. In what was supposed to be a very serious... let's take that again. I'm the only convergence journalist in the world with my name. The only talk show host with his own official World Cup soccer ball. Oh, wait, that doesn't sound right. Let me rehearse this again. Jabulani ball. The Jabulani ball. Jabulani ball. Jabulani ball. I'm currently the... radio wow, this is going to end my career. This is going to end my career.
You're listening to Central Standard on 89.3 KCUR, streaming live on KCUR.org. I'm Jabalani LaFall, and today we're celebrating 2 years on the air with Central Standard Bloopers and Practically Stoked.
Susan, it's okay. You don't have to say that you're Jabalani LaFall. I think people get it by now, you know, the whole idea, Jabalani LaFall, interviewing Jabalani LaFall, et cetera, et cetera. I think it might be getting old by now. You can say you're Susan Wilson, co-host of KC Currents, Sundays and Mondays on KCUR. That's cool. That's sufficient.
Oh, no, Jabalani. You don't understand. Wow, okay. This was your idea. You want to go to the clip?
Please, let's go to the clip, please. Good morning, Kansas City. Until today, I had only seen ferrets on TV or in cages or at game preserves. You see, because every other place I've lived, such as California and New York City, ferrets are illegal to be kept as pets within the city limits. You get caught, you can get in trouble. But not here and not now. I sit eye to eye with a ferret named Flowerpot. Right here in the studio, along with some guests that are going to help me break down the science on ferret haters and why ferrets seem to be yet another fulcrum point in this nation's culture wars between coasts and America's heartland. This is Central Standard. I'm Jabalani LaFall. With us today, we have Sharon Cannon, the adoption coordinator for the Kansas City Ferret Hotline Association. Hello.
Good morning. I'm glad to be here.
Welcome to the show. And Bob Church, a zooarchaeologist and writer for ferretsmagazine.com.
Yes. Thank you for inviting me here. I'm honored.
Thanks for coming on the show. And joining us later in the second half of the hour will be Dr. Larry Snyder, a veterinarian for the Topeka University Bird and Small Animal Clinic. Kansas City, is there something you've always wondered about ferrets? Have you wondered what's the deal with ferrets? Are you looking at some ferret-related advice for some our guests? Call us at 816-235-2888, 816-235-2888, or shoot us an email at centralstandard@kcur.org. So, Shannon, you brought Flowerpot with us today. Mm-hmm. Introduce us.
This is my sunshine, the light of my life. Flowerpot actually came to me a couple years ago. A lady had lost her job and had to live with her brother in his basement, and the conditions weren't very good. And she was a fantastic ferret mom, but she just couldn't do it. And her original name was Cece, but she came with a flower pot that was made by this woman's grandmother, and that's why she got the name Flower Pot.
Now, what we're looking at in the studio right now is a sort of brownish-black ferret with about mm-hmm. the size of a small cat with a small, cute rodent face and some little claws.
We never say rodent.
it's not a rodent.
They are not a rodent. They're part of the mustelid family.
And our ferret, Flower Pot, that's here in the studio with us, is a very humble ferret. She has been sequestered in the Christmas blanket for, I guess, the last 20 minutes here. Very humble. I guess it's not about me. You know, do your show. Do your thing. Just kind of chilling over there by the pellets, hidden in the Christmas blanket. Oh, it's moving a little bit now.
She's secure in how special she is.
Actually, ferrets are a very solitary animal, which is why they don't have a lot of vocalizations. Mm. They're very quiet because if you live solitary.
Flower Pot has not said a word this
and she
time.
Probably won't. She might duke like a chicken clucking very quietly. And
you
that's a.
Do it?
Or, yeah, you can do it. Yeah, it's like. And I can do it back. We're talking ferret.
They're talking ferret.
She basically said,
give
me
some
chicken.
We don't have an interpreter here on Central Standard.
They're very, very quiet, and so I could believe it. And
do they do that to trick chickens into coming into their space so they can eat them? They're like, here, chicken.
No. I do it to get chickens to come in.
Then you feed them to the ferrets.
It's just a vocalization that they make. Most weasels and most polecats, I've even heard otters make the same sound. It just tends to be a sound that they make. I think it lets other ones nearby know where they are.
We're hearing excerpts of shows from the past 2 years of the show Central Standard, which tackles a wide range of topics and is all about throwing the spaghetti against the wall and seeing what sticks.
Splat!
You know, Jabalani, I just wanted to say that as your host, Jabalani LaFall, I really like the show KC Currents, airing on KCUR Sunday nights and Monday nights.
All right. Nice one.
Are we done yet?
Yeah, we're done.
All right, let's get back on the bus with Jabulani and our guest, Kmet Coleman.
How does this whole journey inform you about the history of Kansas City?
Well, you know, it's really interesting, right? You know, because there's so much history that if you didn't know about it, you would just walk right by and ride right by, literally. So I think it's just really fascinating to see it in one ride, the rise and the fall, and the fall and the rise of truth.
Do you mind talking? My name is Jabulani LaFall. I host a show called Central Standard on 89.3. Is this your first time on the MAX bus, sir?
It is, yes. I think it's wonderful. It's a good ride. Oh, by the way, my name is John Hurt. I live here in Kansas City, reside here. I've been here for like 7 years, and I think this is a beautiful ride. It's made a lot of changes, you know. It's get to my destination free. I work around the clock, so, you know, I'm busy all the time. So
you use the bus to get to and from work?
Right. Yes.
And so what is having a new Metro Area Express line do for your commute and your life?
I don't have to get up as early as I did to get to work. It gets me there about five minutes, maybe 30 minutes. So,
where are you headed today?
Right now I'm going back here to Independence.
Oh, Independence?
Yeah, I'm going to Independence Street.
Oh, Independence.
I'm going to a cricket store. Got to pay a bill today.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm off today. This is the only chance I get to pay bills.
So you even use the MAX bus to run errands?
Oh yeah, yes.
Now have you heard that Truce Avenue is sort of a racial dividing line or economic dividing line in the city of Kansas City?
That's in every state I've been in, but it's getting better. I put it like that. You know, I don't see too much of a race issue now, like it was before, like in the 50s or, you know.
What do you learn about yourself and your surroundings when you're on a bus in the city versus when you're in a car by yourself, insulated?
Oh, the traffic-wise?
Yeah,
it's too many stops, too many headaches. You have to watch out for the other guy, you know. Here you don't have to watch so much as the other person. You know, you don't have to watch out for the other person, and you don't have to be pulling in and out of driveways hoping that someone let you out when it's heavy traffic, because they do not let you out. Pretty convenient. It takes away the headache. You have less to think about.
Thank you, sir. Enjoy your ride. We're going to keep riding along as well.
Oh, okay. I win any prize today?
You win a prize? A new MAX bus.
Today we'll go inside the life of a celebrity impersonator, his passions, his motivations, and the subtle and real differences between flattery, mimicry, caricature, and bona fide impersonations. Welcome to the show, Tommy Drummond. Your friends call you Tommy, right?
That's right.
Welcome to Central Standard. How are you today?
I'm doing great. I'm glad to be here.
Now, first, you're a celebrity impersonator, and you're impersonating somebody right now. Let's get into what you're wearing.
Oh, well, I got my custom-made Elvis jumpsuit. It's full white. It's called the fringe suit. I got my self-made black Elvis wig with my glue-on sideburns and, of course, the Elvis sunglasses.
And then you have a shawl that's made of pianos.
Yes. I had to grab a scarf as I was running out the door this morning, so this was the one that was hanging closest to the door. So that's what
got a satiny feel to it, very musical.
Yeah, silk scarf. You got to have it right, the good stuff, you know.
And tell me about the shingles hanging from the leisure suit there.
The fringe? This was the fringe suit Elvis wore in Vegas. This is a replica of it. It was made by a company called PC Costumes, where you buy this over the internet. And the pants came from Vegas. They're 70s-style pants, and I love the belt bottoms.
Famous first and last words, the pants came from Vegas.
That's right. That's right. That's right, baby.
Now, what attracted you to Elvis other than the music?
Oh, I grew up watching the movies. Loved the movies. Just on Saturday afternoons, I would sit and watch those Elvis movies. And, you know, he made 33 movies, and they were all the same. Boy meets girl. boy gets girl. And so I just enjoyed watching Elvis. I thought he was cool, hip, slick, and just thought it was a great guy, too.
Now, speaking of hip and slick, you're going to perform something for us, aren't you?
I think we're going to do a few songs. We're going to try to do a few songs. And are we going to do that?
Are you ready?
I guess I'm as ready as I'm going to be.
All right. I can hear the Elvis tapering into your,
that's right,
your
baby,
voice already.
That's right.
Let's go and get you set up at the mic.
Okay.
We've been talking with Elvis impersonator, celebrity impersonator, and entertainer Tommy Drummond here on Central Standard, live in the studio. I'm your host, Jabulani LaFall, and he's going to get into it. This is the King of Rock and Roll, as interpreted by Tommy Drummond, The Wonder of You. Take it away, brother.
When no one else could understand me, when no one else could understand me, when everything I do is wrong, you give me hope and consolation. You give me strength to carry on, and you're always there to lend a hand. Everything I do, that's the wonder, the wonder of you. And when you smile, the world is brighter. You touch my hand, I'm a king. Your kiss to me is worth a fortune. Your love for me is everything. I guess I'll never know the reason why you love me as you do. That's the wonder, the wonder of you. Oh, sing it, fellas. Oh, 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 oh. I guess I'll never know the reason why you love me as you do. That's the wonder, the wonder of you. Oh, oh, oh.
This has been Central Standard Bloopers and Practically Stoked. On a serious note, we hope you enjoyed the last 2 years of programming and that you stick around for more to come. We'd like to thank all the people who came through and played Jabulani LaFall, starting with Jabulani LaFall, Steve Bell, Renee Blanche, Susan Wilson, and I might add, Jabulani LaFall. Written by Jabulani LaFall. Directed by Jabulani LaFall. Produced by Jabulani LaFall. Craft services by Jabulani LaFall. Okay, Jabulani, give me a rest. Yeah, you're probably right, Jabulani. Kim Noble is our board announcer. Our music, original music, is by Miles Bonney and the Will Knotts. Bill Anderson is the executive producer of this show and is probably having a heart attack right now, but thanks, Bill, for letting us do this. We'd like to thank Steven Steigman, Danny Alexander, Steve Kraske, Patty Cahill, Nico Leone, Tamika Weatherspoon, Ashley Ferguson, Andreas Lindsay, Alexia Lang, if you're out there, Dan Verbeck, Kim Noble, Sally and Jill, who are the first people I see every day, most days, Frank Morris, Laura Spencer, Sylvia Maria Gross, Alana Gordon, and most of all, you, the listeners of KCUR 89.3 FM. Thank you so much, Kansas City, for embracing this show. This is Central Standard. Enjoy your day.